sure, other stations promise outstanding content, but when it's time to deliver, they fall flat on their ridiculous faces. Enter LA Talk Radio, a cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk station that delivers totally original content without any commercials. Log on to latalkradio.com and get involved with the best talk radio station on the internet. LA Talk Radio, we say what we want.
The morning show that's on your side. But then again, so is appendicitis.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Charlotte, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Wednesday, March 12th. We're back with you.
Hey everyone, how you doing?
And Charlotte can't believe the weather.
I can't. It's so beautiful. I mean, it's, well, I still think it's January in my head, but it's March. But it's just stunning. I haven't been in LA at this time of year before, and I'm used to Florida, being in the humidity. Yeah. My best friend's coming from Florida tomorrow, and I'm like, dude, you're going to die. This weather is amazing.
She'll probably stay, huh, once she gets here.
Seriously, so. I wanted to, but she's going to just love it. I'm like, she's like, it's 88 on Sunday. I'm just dying. Like, it's going to be great. And I'm like, and there's no humidity.
Right.
Like, your hair's going to stay perfect. Your makeup will be nice. You're not going to sweat. It's perfect.
That's true. It's exactly how it is, you know.
Yeah.
And so that's cool. She's going to stay with you for what, like a few days?
She gets in tomorrow morning and then she leaves Tuesday.
Oh, great.
So she's staying. Yeah. She like took off work, like, built up a day so she could take off.
Oh, awesome. Are you going to bring her on the show?
I'm sure, yeah. I'll see if she would like to. Yeah.
Yeah, we'll keep Monday open then and we'll have her come in.
Yeah, I think she would like to. She works in PR in Florida.
Yeah.
We went to school together at Florida State. We did the same major.
Did you really?
Yeah.
Did she swim too?
No, she swam in high school.
Okay.
With a lot of my friends
right. In
Sarasota, Florida, which is apparently the nicest beach in the whole of America.
Really?
And it is a beautiful beach.
Wow.
Yeah. But she grew up there. Well, I guess I shouldn't say too much about it.
No, but, you can tell us. It's fine.
But and then we both, but because she swam with a lot of my friends who then went on to swim at Florida State, but she was like, too much, don't want to deal with this. I just want to have fun in college.
Oh, cool. So so you met there in college, right?
Yeah, and we lived together and did the same major.
Great. And she lives in Florida still then?
Yeah, now she lives in Tampa.
Awesome. Mm-hmm. Awesome. Yeah, I wish I had some friends from college and stuff, but my college attendance was off and on, you know. Mm-hmm. So I went right after high school. I went to UNLV in Las Vegas because that's where I lived. But, you know, that was a time like in the 70s, we were doing a lot of drugs and stuff, you know, not heavy drugs, but, you know, still to the point where I couldn't focus. There's no way I could go to school at the time. You know, I was like 18 years old, you know. So I went for a year. I didn't do very well. And so then I moved to L.A. and I went to a community college here. And then I went to Cal State Northridge. But,
oh, cool.
Yeah. So, but it was like scattered, you know. It was off and on. So I never really had the chance to make any friends. It's not like I lived in a dorm and I went to the events and an extracurricular stuff. It was just pretty much just going to school. But it was a good idea for me to wait and then go back. You know, I went back to school when I was 26, 27. But I was a lot more mature then, you know. Mm-hmm. So I was able to graduate with honors and, you know, and do very well because I approached it in a more mature way.
Definitely. I think especially, I mean, Florida State's one of the top party schools. People just get so wrapped up. And I mean, Greek life is so huge there.
Really?
Thankfully, I was an athlete, so it wasn't like, oh, what sorority are you in? It's like, I'm an athlete. So I kind of got off lightly. But Greek life is so intense there. And I mean, socials and going to everything with the fraternity, like, it's huge.
Right.
And to get a job as like a bartender or in a bar, if you're not in a sorority or fraternity, is pretty much slim to nothing.
Really? Wow, that's interesting.
On all the interviews, so what sorority are you in?
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So is that like a college town or something or what?
Well, Tallahassee is the capital of Florida.
Right.
But pretty much it's just a college town. Yeah.
Oh, okay. All right. So
all the bars run off
right. The
college students.
Oh, really? Okay. Yeah. So that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. So they want to promote people to be in that kind of a lifestyle?
I think the boss want to associate themselves with such a big group of people because right. they know if they have a bartender and you're in, say, Delta,
right.
They know that your sorority
you're gonna bring all your friends
gonna, exactly.
And stuff. Oh, okay.
Exactly.
So you have a potential to bring in some new customers.
Yeah. So although they don't realize that most drinks are going for free,
yeah.
they think that they're going to get more money because because all the sorority sisters and then
right.
people that are linked with them come.
Right.
So, yeah, it's hard to get a job if you're not in a sorority.
Wow, that's interesting, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so, you know, I mean, I'm sure I would have liked that, but I don't think it's a bad thing, you know, so, 'cause you sort of create your friends for your future, you know. It's not like the high school friends anymore and stuff like that. So you can build a foundation for a social life, I think, that way. So, yeah, because you see, you've kept a couple friends from when you went to school and stuff. And, you know, if you're good friends, you'll probably stick around for a long time.
Exactly. Like, I have three girls that I went to school with that, I mean, we've spoken almost every day since I left last May.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Do you all talk together at the same
no,
time?
No, separately. Oh, okay. So yeah. it's even more, I'm like, oh, I need to text. When I have a piece of news, I text all three of them separately. Usually I just copy and paste the text.
Yeah, well, I'm sure they understand. They'd probably do the same
yeah.
thing. You know? Yeah, thank goodness for texting. I mean, if you had to call them, that would be like a big part of your day. Just
I
to
know.
Call three people every
On
day.
On a day off, I'll go through the list of people that I have to call and catch up with.
Yeah.
That takes like 4 hours.
I know. You need a personal assistant just
right.
for that, you know.
Right?
Yeah. Wow, that's funny. So cool. Well, are you going to take it to all the touristy places and stuff?
Yeah.
Disneyland?
I don't think, because there's Disney in Florida.
That's right. We were talking about that.
Yeah.
So you've seen the better one already.
Yeah, but she wants to go on a hike. So I think I'm going to take her to Griffith Park.
Right.
Because that's just beautiful.
Yeah.
And she wants to go wine tasting because it's California.
Right.
So I think we're just going to go to Malibu. And then I'm going to take her out.
Yeah, go to Santa Monica,
yeah,
to Venice.
I'm thinking we'll probably go to Santa Monica and St. Patrick's Day on Monday, which is nice. So.
Oh, is that when it is on Monday?
Yeah, on
Monday.
Oh,
okay,
Monday.
Cool. They'll probably have festivities there.
Exactly, yeah. So take us somewhere that's lively and
yeah,
I'm excited. And she loves food like me, so we have
really?
So much. I have a list of places that I want to take it. In and Out's probably the first place we're gonna go. Since I don't have that on the East Coast.
Yeah, I know. There's a lot of great places here for hamburgers and hot dogs. Do you like chili dogs?
Mm-hmm.
There's a place called Pink's Hot Dogs, and that's in Hollywood. And every time you go by there, there's a line around the block. And,
oh, my gosh.
But people love it, you know.
Uh-huh.
Celebrities have been there and things like that. But if you guys happen to be in Hollywood, you should check it out.
Yeah, I'll definitely take, 'cause I wanna
yeah,
take it to...
Yeah, it's part of the experience.
Yeah,
you know?
Like Hollywood Boulevard. And
yeah.
she has to see... I'm excited, too, because really, since I've been here, I haven't done
right.
a whole lot of touristy things.
Right.
Because it's like I live here now. I feel like I
exactly.
can't do that. But now I've made a great excuse.
Exactly. When you have guests coming in from
yeah.
out of town, you do it. You
exactly.
know? Wow, that's cool. You should, I mean, you said you liked zoos, right? You might as well go to the LA Zoo if you can't get to San Diego. And it's a pretty cool zoo, too, you know.
Really?
Yeah.
I just like taking photos with the animals. So I'm
really?
Like, look who I'm with. I'm a photo person. I
yeah.
said to my friend, I was like, you need to delete every photo you have on your camera so you have as much space as possible.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
I love taking photos because it's memories.
That's true,
I'm a
yeah.
huge, like, my apartment is filled with photos and, like,
really?
Photo frames. Yeah, I love looking at a photo and being like, oh, my gosh, that night was so much fun. Oh, my
wow.
gosh, like, that was such a good day.
Yeah. Well, you should post them all on Facebook, you know, so people can, you can share them.
Yeah, I will do for sure, because I, especially like this weekend, I'll be posting a lot of photos with
yeah.
them.
I know, it's funny, but people go out and they take special Facebook pictures, you know.
I know. Instagram, that's me for
yeah.
sure. I'm like, oh, this is going to be such a good Instagram photo.
That's true, yeah. So now, what's the advantage? I haven't really, Instagram, I haven't really subscribed to that, but I only put like a couple pictures up there. But how is it different like from posting on Facebook?
Well, when Instagram first started, there weren't filters on Facebook.
Right.
So you could change like which filter you wanted and edit the photo cool. So that's how Instagram started. But okay. Now you can link it to your Twitter and your Facebook. So you can just post it on Instagram and then click Facebook, Twitter, and it uploads automatically.
All right. I'm sorry to interrupt you, but we do have a guest calling, and it's a little earlier, but let's go ahead and take it. Good morning. You're on the air. Go ahead.
I'm Kim Summers. Hi.
Yeah. Kim, good morning. How you doing?
Things are smooth, yeah.
Okay, where are you calling us from today?
I'm near Philadelphia.
Oh, you're in Philadelphia. How cool. I'm hearing an accent there. Where are you from originally?
I'm San Diego. I have been told that by other people, too. I'm not sure what it might be, but I am.
Okay, so maybe I just made it up. I don't know. It sounded kind of a British accent at first.
Yeah,
so
I heard a little bit of an accent, too.
Yeah.
So, Kit, thank you so much for calling us. How's the weather up in Philadelphia? Is it still cold?
Yeah, a little bit. Today was warmer. It's cloudy, but warmer.
Oh, awesome.
Getting back to the summertime.
That's good.
Yeah. So have you lived in Philadelphia all your life?
No. I moved here maybe 20 years ago from San Diego. San Diego's much nicer.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And, so you grew up in San Diego?
Yes, huh?
Oh, how was that transition?
Awful. I like San Diego much better. That's working toward moving back toward the West now. I'm going to head back there. I was married for 32 years, and my wife is from this area. So we lived in San Diego for 5 years married. And then she bugged me and moved out here. Uh-huh. And then after 32 years, she left me and divorced me. And I was devastated, but life goes on. And
that's true,
I'm here now, and yeah.
Time to get back to the sun.
Yeah, actually,
exactly.
That's true. So you're a motivational speaker and writer and so forth. And it was interesting. I wanted to have you on the show. And so I understand you write like a series of books called Beyond Your Potential.
So the first two are out now, and should be five in the series.
Oh, five of
wow.
them. Wow, how can you plan so many? I mean, my God, you know, this is like a lot.
Sam, I was writing one book that was like 800 pages.
Uh-huh.
I thought, this is too big to comfortably read. So I thought, well, I could do small portions. And
that's true.
So I divided up. The first book is called Accident. Second book is called Your Brain.
Uh-huh.
Third book is Finding Success. Fourth book is Life Changing. And the fifth book, I'm not sure yet what I want to title that one.
Yeah.
So have you written all five books?
Yes.
Oh, wow. So they've all been written already.
Pretty much, yeah. Just two are out there now, the first two.
Very nice. Congratulations to you.
Thank you.
Yeah, so before we forget, where can people find the books and get them?
My website, that's kitsummers.com. That's kitsummers.com.
Right. Go Beyond Your Potential with Kit Summers. How did you become involved in that, Kit?
Well, I went through some major changes. What occurred was 1982, I was a world-class juggler. I was a performer at Bally's Casino in Atlantic City. It was big time.
Wow.
When I was walking to the show in a terrible rainstorm, I was hit by a truck and took a nap for 37 days and woke up from that. I had to relearn how to walk and talk and juggle.
Wow.
Basically everything. In my mind, I knew what to do. I had to reach out my nerve pathways on how to do it again. And I came back from that. I wrote five books and spoke around the world. And then, get this, I started a company making fresh salsa.
Uh-huh.
It's a recipe that I developed, and the company did really, really well. And so the salsa were out.
Uh-huh.
Then in 2010, I was riding my bike, and I saw a truck coming toward me. He got in the left-hand turn lane, and I thought, no, not again.
Oh, wow.
And he smashed through me. He broke my clavicle, my knee, and three ribs. And so twice in my life, he had just two different trucks. Mm. And so I went through that, and then I closed down my salsa company, and I started my books. But then about 7 months after that, my next door neighbor and I, we never really got along. One day he called the police and he said that I had threatened to shoot him with a gun. I had no gun. I never shot a gun.
Uh-huh.
But the police somehow believed him. I just spent a month in jail, Sam.
Wow.
It was the worst month of my life. I couldn't believe it. And so there was that change, too. And
wow. So you had
added together for the books I'm writing.
Yeah. So you've had a lot of trials in your life.
It's been interesting, I see.
Yeah. Wow. So I guess we all come in with our destiny, with our journey, you know, and maybe you were meant to go through these trials so you can write the books and help other people.
Is that, do you think that everything you've been through has helped you write them in a way that people can relate to you?
Oh, definitely. And I'm just always an entertainer, and so that the books are filled with comedy and fun, and you can even learn to juggle.
Right.
You know, with my books.
Yeah, it's interesting because you have a book called Juggling with Fitness.
Juggling with Fitness. That one.
Oh, Fitness. How did I get Fitness? I'm sorry. Juggling with Fitness.
After my first accident, I wanted to show people that I was sitting on the head really bad, but I still knew so much about juggling.
Uh-huh.
And the book went on to sell over 25,000 copies. And
very nice.
I'm told by many that it's the best book on juggling around, and I feel good about that.
Yeah. Wow, that's cool. How did you get into juggling?
Just because it was different and unique, and I've always been intrigued by things that were unusual, so I went that route.
Oh.
But like I was saying with my juggling book, I went for excellence. And with my juggling, I went for excellence.
Uh-huh.
I see so many people on these days who go for mediocrity and never achieve and never find their future. And the thing is, if we go for excellence in our life, we can get back so much more rather than just putting half effort in. Because if you put half effort in, you get even less back. So
yeah.
In everything we do, I think we have to go for excellence, no matter what happens, no matter if we get hit by a truck or whatever might happen.
Yeah. So in the book Accident, do you describe what you went through and stuff and then provide like guidance for people?
Yes, exactly. I let them know what pushed me to get through it and come back. And I talk a lot about how we're in control of our feelings, that I could have just given up and been depressed and laid in bed and been nothing. But I personally got it from juggling, but the drive toward the excellence I'm speaking of is something everyone can find and have if once they apply that to their life, they will see that, oh, this is not that hard. So a lot of people think it takes so much work to do good stuff, but it doesn't. It's just a little more effort,
right?
And the rewards are just so tremendous.
Awesome.
It says he learned the secret to being happy no matter what life throws at you. What do you think the secret is to being happy? Do you have like a shortened version that you can kind of share with the listeners of how to be happy?
Just we choose happiness or we choose sadness. It's up to us. Even through all these changes, there are times when I got a little depressed and sometimes I cried, but I saw these were feelings I brought to myself. And if you stay on top of things, you never have to be depressed or upset. If you control your outlook and your feelings, then you can live the life that you want and stay happy.
Right. So how do you control your thoughts and feelings?
Well, just know that you're the one in charge. Know that you have that control. And
yeah.
Bring on a smile. It's, right now, this fellow, dude, give me a big smile right there. Just smile.
Right.
And you can feel those feelings. You can feel that joy in yourself. Just bring on a smile and, like I said, you control how you feel.
That's true.
I agree with you because when you wake up with a smile on your face in the morning, it just makes things, it makes your day brighter. Like if you just start off smiling, but if you start off in a bad mood, like, ugh, I'm tired, I didn't get enough sleep. If you just smile, it does make things better.
Yes, and it's what we aim for. If people see all the negative, if they see the bad, they'll bring on bad, they'll bring on negativity, they'll have an awful life. But if we see the good, if we make the good, if we smile at the good, then we have a much better life.
Yeah, definitely. Well, this is cool. So we're talking to Kit Summers. The website is kitsummers.com, K-I-T. And there's a lot of information, a wealth of information here. I see you also have, like, juggling workshops. That's pretty cool. Tell us about that.
Actually, yeah, I've gone to Europe 3 times. I went to Japan 3 times. And just last year, I went to Australia for a month and New Zealand for a month.
Wow.
In the workshop, what I do is I help jugglers to improve. You see, I can't juggle like I used to at all, but my knowledge of juggling is just much. And so I train the jugglers to improve, and I just get tremendous good feedback from that. And I just want to let your audience know that if you can't do something any longer, you can also always teach or write books or somehow stay with it.
That's true, yeah. So, well, it's amazing. I mean, I think yours is a story of survival and persistence and so forth. And, you know, I mean, being run over by 2 trucks, I mean, that's like, you know, I mean, that's it in itself is enough, you know. And then you spend a month in jail for something you didn't do. Yeah, I would have been destroyed, I think, after all these things.
Yeah,
so
it shows you're a really strong person.
Yeah, you're inspiring, you know, and I would listen to advice from you because you've been through it.
I'll send you the books digitally an email if you'd like. In fact, how about this? For listeners out there, for your guests, I mean your listeners, if they want to go through my website and send me an email, I'll send them a digital copy of the first book, Accident.
Awesome.
So go to my website, kitsummers.com, kitsummers.com, and then send me back an email from there, and I'll send you the book.
Yeah. And,
that's awesome.
Yeah, and also you have, I see on your website, you still talk about the Summers Salsa. Sweet and mild or hot. That sounds pretty cool.
it was surprising that the company did so well. And I still make it now and then, and I go and sell it. And I give samples, and people love the samples. I get lots of people to try it. And
yeah, it looks pretty good. I just went to summersalsa.com, and it looks pretty good, man. So you still sell this? Still sell the
salsa? I do.
Salsa?
Not so much anymore because I've worked on the book series.
Right.
I still do.
Yeah. Amazing.
Very
amazing.
Cool. Yeah.
Well, Kit, thank you so much.
It just shows you that people that are so depressed about life and their work, and, you know, I went from juggling to salsa, and I'm happy, and I made success. They can make success, too.
Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Definitely.
And you're very inspiring. Everybody go out and get the books. So 3 are out. They're called Accident, Your Brain, and then Juggling with Finesse. And you can check those out. It sounds, Beyond Your Potential is really the name of the series. And everybody can go get that. Kit, thank you so much.
I've spoken to hundreds of audiences and would love to come and speak for an audience of your listener. Do juggling, do magic, so I entertain along with motivating, inspiring. And if anyone, you know, wants to work with me on that, contact me and let's get some.
Sounds good. So you go around the world and stuff and speak to people?
I do.
Oh, wonderful.
Very cool.
Yeah. Well, at least you're doing what you enjoy doing, and I think that's important.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Okay, Kit. Well, thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Well, that was a good talk with you.
Of course. And when are the 2 other books coming out?
Within a couple months.
Okay.
Oh, wow.
It'll be on my website when they're released.
Wow, sounds good. So they total about, 800 pages, you said?
Yes.
Wow, that's a lot of wisdom to impart to people, so that's pretty cool.
How long did it take you to write them?
A couple of years. I worked, intently on this, and I would slack off and then go again. And just in the last year and 2 years, I was when I really applied myself and got these books completed.
Awesome.
And I just have other ideas for more books in the future, too.
Right. Okay. Cool. Well, Kit Summers, everybody check out kitsummers.com. You'll have all the information you want, even a link to the salsa if you want. And
let me know an email. I'll send you the first book.
Okay. Sounds good. Sounds good. Thanks. Kit, thank you so much. All the best to you.
Thank you.
And much success with the books and everything.
Good to talk with you.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, people go through like challenges in their lives, you know.
Definitely.
And you know, it's like it changes your life forever. I mean, if I just sat in jail for one day, would
I
die.
Imagine. Absolutely couldn't imagine.
Yeah.
I
mean, and especially if it's something you didn't do, you know.
Definitely. And to be in a coma for 37 days.
Yeah, that's a long time.
Oh,
huh?
My God.
Yeah. And, I mean, you know, what's the likelihood of you being run down by two different trucks in your life?
Yeah, not just one, but two. I couldn't even imagine being run down by one, never mind two. Gosh. That's awesome, though, that he's using that to then help other people.
Yeah, I know. And it's really cool. I mean, I like people that overcome challenges, you know.
Definitely.
And then you go on and inspire people. And I think that's like some people's destiny, you know. Mm-hmm. It's like you have to go through these things in order to be able to help other people.
I'm a firm believer of everything happens for a reason. Even if you don't see it at the time,
right,
you will later on realize why something happened.
That's true,
and
yeah.
And there will be a reason, a positive reason that it did happen.
Yeah, of course, because, you know, if, well... Never mind. I totally forgot what I wanted to say. but no, we were talking about overcoming challenges and stuff, you know. Mm-hmm. And I think that if you go through adverse times and stuff, you're more qualified to tell people about it, you know. And
Completely.
Yeah, you know, because other people, it's just easy for them to criticize and stuff, but mm-hmm. they don't really understand what's behind your motivations, you know. Yeah. So anyway, to move on, did you hear about these two buildings that collapsed in Harlem this morning?
No, I didn't.
Yeah, two buildings collapsed. There was like explosions, but they're saying it's not terrorism. It's like that's the first thing we always go to, you know,
always.
Is it terrorism?
Yeah.
But they're saying that apparently there was an explosion, a gas explosion or something. Somebody reported a leak in the morning, and so they sent. The utility company sent two trucks there, but they arrived too late. The explosions have already taken place. So they're saying some people are missing, 16 injuries.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, you know, and they're saying some people are missing. So two people dead.
This is New York?
Yeah, that's New York in Harlem, Manhattan.
That's terrible.
I know.
So, I bet that gas company feels bad.
Well,
I bet they're getting in trouble.
Yeah. I don't know what they could have done, but, you know. But, yeah, I mean, this is dangerous stuff. And New York is getting their share of stuff, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what that is. But I guess the mayor is saying that there's a number of missing individuals. So
they're
probably gone. And, yeah, that's scary stuff, you know. All these things that are, like, unexpected, that are beyond us. It's scary, you know. Sometimes you wonder, should I even leave the house? You know,
complete no, and you don't know, and especially with terrorism, you don't know where it's going to hit next.
That's true,
and
you know.
And especially being in a big city like LA,
right?
I mean, when my mom came to visit, when she left last May, whenever she left, June, I was worried because it was after the bombings at LAX,
right?
I was like, oh my gosh, it was. When she came to visit in January,
right.
I was worried because the bombing had been in the fall. And I was like, oh, my goodness. Like, this is scary, you know?
Yeah.
You don't expect really being at an airport. The last thing I think of when I'm there is if a terrorist is going to be there. But you don't know when they're going to hit.
Yeah, exactly. But you know what? It's not only terrorism because it's just dangerous going outside, you know? There's a story, I guess, of this two-year-old that disappeared from her front yard, you know, and that was a couple weeks ago, and she was playing outside with her sister. Now, I don't know why a two-year-old was playing outside without her parent supervision.
Yeah, and now I don't she's know gone missing?
Yeah, she's been missing for about, the first of the month.
Is this the Amber Alert?
No, because
is that different?
I think that's different because I think it happened somewhere else. Where is it? That's in Mississippi.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, the Amber Alert we all got here was for Long Beach, I guess, disappearance or something. But, yeah, and we were discussing this on Facebook as well about the fact
if
that,
it's,
you know,
an invasion.
Yeah, mm-hmm. But when you get it on your phone, you know, because at first I'm like, what is this, you know?
Yeah, because it beeps loud. It's like beeping, vibrating. Right. I'm like, what is going on?
I know.
I've got them in during the night before, and I almost have a heart attack. I'm like, Where is that coming from?
I know. It's funny because I have, that reminds me, I mean, this morning I'm like awakened at 6 o'clock with my phone vibrating, and I'm going, who's texting me, right? But I have some apps that give you notifications and stuff, you know?
Oh, no.
So it doesn't, so, yeah. They're saying it's not a good idea to put your phone next to you when you're sleeping, you know?
I've heard that before, too. And if you speak on the phone while your phone is charging, there's been many cases. I haven't heard any in America, but in England, my mom always nags at me about this. That, because a lot of phones have exploded.
Really?
While they're talking,
oh,
and
God,
the phone is being charged. Because a lot of the times I will talk, usually it's on loudspeaker.
Right.
But I do talk when it's charging, because my phone always dies.
Really?
Typical iPhones.
Yeah.
But apparently there's been a lot of cases where the phone's exploded while it's been charging when people are on the phone. So be careful, if listeners, if you're on the phone while it's charging.
Yeah.
Can explode.
That's true, yeah. Or if you keep it around you, it keeps you awake all night, you know. You gotta but we're like so connected, you know. And plus, you know, we don't have like home phones anymore, like landlines. So you gotta keep your phone near you.
At my friend's house last night, and her parents are away, and the home phone rang.
Uh-huh.
Just seeing it being answered, I was like, what year are we in right now? I haven't seen a home phone being used in so long.
I know. Times have changed so much.
Really,
you know?
Have.
It really has. And especially in the past couple decades. And that's that takes me to the next thing, and that is that the internet is, or the World Wide Web is celebrating 25 years this week.
Wow.
So, you know, it's, so I guess the internet has existed for many years, many more years. But then what they did is they created a sub something of the internet, and they call it the World Wide Web. And that allowed us to start using text and graphics and audio and things like that that they couldn't do before on the internet.
Cool.
Yeah. So it used to be, yeah, I mean, I remember the times. You were born into like sort of like a broadband era, but
I remember the dial-up.
You remember the dial-up?
Yeah, my mom limited me to like 30 minutes a night of Messenger, so I could talk to my friends at night.
Yeah, and it was so slow. I mean, I can't believe
it killed me.
You know, I mean, we were waiting so long, and definitely you couldn't like watch video or anything.
No,
you know?
No,
it was just too much. So you'd go like on AOL or something, you know. And,
that's what we had.
Yeah.
We had that dial-up tone. Huh?
Yeah.
My gosh.
Did you guys have AOL there too?
Yeah, we did.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was like training wheels for the internet, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I think some people, well, I don't know if they use it anymore, if they still have that software and stuff that they use for AOL. But maybe they do. You know, some people just like that sort of like contained, self-contained system or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, what the hell am I talking about? So the internet, 25 years, and just think about, I can't remember life without it. You know,
I couldn't imagine now having a phone and going back to having like a flip phone or a Nokia phone that didn't have email. I mean, I couldn't live without my email, Facebook, you know, like it's sad, but I couldn't, especially in the business we're in. It's all about like social media.
Right. Yeah. I don't know if it's necessarily sad, you know, I mean, that's just our generation and we've changed, you know, I mean,
mm-hmm.
I remember when we were kids, our parents looked at us and said, oh, wow, you know, I mean, things have really changed. So every generation's got its own thing. yeah. you know? And, you know, we sit here and we criticize our kids' music and their attitudes and stuff, but, you know, or the fact that they don't go out as much and they play video games. Right, and internet and stuff. But you know what? This is what it is. You know, you can't change it. You can't go back. Mm-hmm. And you can't stop progress, you know, and innovation. So things just going to keep going. I mean, I would, you know, the thing is when you look at the future, it's kind of scary. You know, if you look
it
like...
It scares me a lot.
Yeah.
I think there's so much technology coming out that is just... so intense. Like, I think our privacy is going to be, like, cut down a lot. I mean, we already don't have as much privacy as we think we do.
No, yeah. I mean, that's all out the window.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, I'm just thinking of the year, like, when it gets to the be in the 2030s, they're saying that we're going to reach a singularity, which means that machines are going to be smarter than people. And just imagine that.
I totally see it.
Yeah.
And there's going to be like flying cars and
drones,
robots. And I saw a movie. I can't remember what it was called, but the people that were living in the town were getting, the cops were killing them, but they were robots. And I was like, this is going to happen. Like, this is what the future is going to be like. We're going to be run by cops that are robots that can just kill anybody. And it was scary. I was like,
well, the Terminator was kind of like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, with the Rise of the Machines.
Yeah. All those kind of robot movies that I feel like that's what it's going to be like.
Yeah. I know. Actually, the Matrix series was based on the fact that the machines took over. And that's kind of scary, you know, but it's very real.
But these movies make it more like that, too.
I know.
I feel like they put all these ideas in everyone's heads.
They
like
do.
The government, it's like, oh, let's do that next.
That's true, because a lot of stuff in science fiction movies has become reality, you know. So you never know what part of it is actually going to happen. But, that kind of scares me, you know. And because you don't know what's going to happen. I mean, the progress is so fast that even in 5 years, we don't know where we're going to be.
No.
You know, I mean, it's hard to imagine. It really is. But I'm just glad I'm probably not going to be around then. Well, for sure.
Not
5 years. In the 2030s, you know. But that's still, well, that's 15 years from now. I still have a few good years left in me.
Yeah.
So, but I don't know if I want to see what happens then. I mean,
can you
imagine the year 2030? It's only like 15 years away,
know.
You know.
It's crazy.
But it sounds like so futuristic.
It does. I'll only be in my 30s. It sounds awful.
Wow. That's pretty cool. So, so that's so much for the internet in 25 years.
The campaign I mentioned the other day, banbossy.com, it's already got 100,000 people have signed the petition to stop saying the word bossy. So it's getting out there. It's getting bigger. And
so what, they're going to make it illegal to say it?
I think, they're wanting girls to not say this word because people, by middle school, girls are less interested in leading because, I mean, if you're a leader when you're a guy, you're called a leader.
Right.
But to a girl, it's, oh, you're bossy.
You're being bossy.
So young girls aren't wanting to be leaders because it's seen in a negative light.
That's
true, they're trying to just ban this and just be like, no, girls are leaders. So what if they're bossy, but not to say bossy?
I see. Okay. Because I guess, it is a double standard, you know, because we expect, you know, we treat women differently in business.
Yeah, exactly. And I think it's all just trying to get equality.
Right. Okay. And I mean, I wouldn't mind a female president, you know.
I agree.
Maybe Hillary will be able to take it in 2016. I don't know. But it wouldn't be a bad idea, you know. I mean, I think women make great leaders.
Mm-hmm.
I really do.
I do, too. I mean, I think we have, not that men don't, but a very level head.
Right.
And I think they can handle a lot.
Yeah, I think so. And, you know, I don't know. I think the stereotype of women being more emotional, I don't think that's necessarily true in business, you know. I mean,
no,
when you're a professional... You know,
I agree with you.
Yeah, so that would be double standard also, or a stereotype of women.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, what about the plane? I guess the missing plane, they still haven't figured out.
Still haven't found it.
Yeah. The thing is, what they did figure out is it was way off course. So if that's the case, then you can imagine why they can't find it. It's just a huge area.
Yeah.
You know, and it's all ocean. I mean, there's no, like, landmarks or anything, mm-mm, you know. So you never know what's going on.
And they said the last words to the control center on ground was, okay, good night, or...
I clicked
off the article, but it was something like that. It was like, okay, everything's fine. Good night. Speak to you tomorrow. Like, very, everything's okay.
Yeah.
And then we'll just talk to you tomorrow. And
yeah.
Then,
you see, and maybe that's the reason they're saying that. I mean, what, there are so many theories, you know, even conspiracy theories and stuff. But some people are saying that maybe the pilot committed suicide or something, you know, and that's what happened. Some people are saying there were a couple of, like, cute girls on TV saying that when they flew with those pilots, I guess, I don't know how they found out who the pilots were, but that they had flown on a plane and these pilots insisted on them being in the cockpit with them.
No, yeah, surely not. They,
yeah, you know, I mean, that's, so I don't know if it's true or not, but that's a story. And then, so, you know, and this girl was saying they weren't even looking where they were flying, you know. You know.
But how much do you have to look while you're flying when you're flying a plane? I mean,
it's,
you can't really see out the window because it's cloudy.
Yeah, autopilot,
so,
right?
Yeah, isn't it all to do with this? I've never been in a cockpit of a plane. I don't really know. But isn't it to do with the screen that's in front of you, if you keep on path?
Yeah, I mean, they obviously need to watch everything they're doing. Yeah. You know, you don't let people sit in the cockpit.
Yeah, drinking cocktails.
Yeah, exactly. So who knows, you know, who knows what happens. But it sure is a mystery. And people are also wondering why the transponder was turned off. Now, a transponder is what the plane uses, like, to identify its location. And, of course, now they have GPS and everything. But before that, transponders were really the only way you could know where a plane was. And so I guess they still use it. You know, they don't only go based on GPS.
And that was turned off?
That was turned off. So, yeah. So that's why they can't figure out where it is.
So maybe they weren't wanting to be found. But it's a very self... I mean, if the pilot did commit suicide, or... Isn't there a co-pilot anyway? But even if... Yeah. Even if he did, I mean, that's such a selfish way.
Yeah.
And it almost makes me think terrorism because, I mean, is that... But then, I mean, you're a pilot. I don't know.
Yeah.
Then if I don't know. Well, you go through all that to...
Yeah. But, you know, I mean, suicide is always selfish, even if you're not a pilot in a plane, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, because the destruction you leave behind you of a family and stuff like that is... It's a very selfish decision to make, but it's hard to judge people because, you know what, when you're very depressed and there's no hope, you don't really think of other people.
Yeah,
you just
want to
make your pain go away.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. I mean, I don't believe that much in consequences after death, but I can't imagine that if there was something like that suicide would be a good thing.
Yeah.
You know? And, you know, but then again, I just don't judge people on that. You know, you get like former soldiers that come back home and they, mm-hmm. and, you know, and that's a major problem now. It's an epidemic of veterans committing suicide and stuff.
Yeah, because they've just seen so much and can't deal with
what
they've seen.
Yeah, like, you know, post-traumatic mm-hmm. shock you know, trying to fit back into society and stuff, you know, get a job and all that. So... But let me tell you, depression is real. And, you know, for people to criticize people and say that, for example, that psychiatric meds don't work and stuff like that, that's bullshit, you know, because it saves many lives.
Yeah.
And, excuse me, depression is probably one of the biggest enemy that a person can have,
mm-hmm.
you know, because it leads to your own self-destruction. So I think... you know, it's people just need help, you know, whatever the reason was for the plane. But since we brought up suicide and stuff, it is definitely a selfish thing, you know, but I can't imagine being in the depth of depression.
No,
and
exactly,
actually
yeah.
thinking, oh, I'm being too selfish, you know.
Mm-hmm,
yeah,
definitely.
So, yeah, there's a lot of stigma going with it. couple things. Okay, so we talked about Manhattan. Now, check this out. Now, this is a very sad story that I wanted to bring up. I guess these parents are using medical marijuana, right? And and they have a child. So I guess the authorities decided that this was a dangerous environment for the child. So an 11-month baby, the authorities came and took it away to put it in foster care. Now, you know, these are, you know, supposedly, let's see, where did this happen? In California. Okay, so obviously medical marijuana is legal here.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and they both have prescriptions, or, you know, they call them recommendations here. And this couple, I mean, just imagine, you're like innocent, you know, normal people and everything. Yeah. They come in and they tell you, you know, so the parents are like, why are you doing this, you know, to the cops? Because they put them in handcuffs and stuff.
The baby?
No.
They
put the parents in handcuffs.
In handcuffs?
The policeman did. The mother's asking, why are you doing this, you know? And the officer goes, your baby doesn't need to be subjected to marijuana. Now, you know, I don't know what the story is.
But they live in California.
In California, right.
Where they have...
Yeah, where it's okay to smoke it for medical reasons. Now, you know, I don't know if the point was that they were smoking in the same room with the baby. I mean, if they were, then I can understand the problem. I can see where there's a problem. It's like smoking cigarettes with your baby in the same room.
But
although
exactly,
I don't know
though,
that it's illegal, though.
It is... kind of like the same thing, like when you smoke a cigarette. And it's like people smoke when they are pregnant. And some people drink, but they're not arrested for it.
Right.
If you're prescribed something, I don't think it's fair to then... But what grounds do they have
for
the arrest?
Well, maybe what I'm saying is maybe, you know, well, if they're feeling that it's unsafe for the child, they will remove him. But you know, I mean, that's... You know, it's a question because I'll tell you why. When you drink... if you're drinking or something, you're not really affecting the baby. You know, I'm not saying when you're pregnant, but when you have a baby.
Yeah.
Although it could be dangerous as well. They could say, hey, you guys are not stable or, you know, you're not. So, you know, I don't know that it's, you know. Yeah.
Yeah, I know what you're saying. Like, you don't think it's necessarily a crime. Was it the child protection that took the baby away? Or
they give them to Child Protective Services.
But then the police arrested them?
Yeah.
I don't understand what grounds they would have to, if they have a...
It's just, they're saying that they're talking about the authorities and they're saying they just can't get it out of their minds that this is an evil drug they have to fight against, you know. So, you know, that's the problem there, is that it's still like evil and everything. But you know what? CNN has had a couple of shows called Weed. And last night they had the second part. And this is done by Dr. Sanjay Gupta, I guess, who's, you know, he reports on health things and he's a doctor and so forth. And he was like against marijuana and until he did a series and he found that there are kids out there with... epilepsy and seizures and things like that that can actually be helped with marijuana.
Yeah.
And not even with the type that gets you high, you know. But the thing is, all marijuana is illegal and thus you can't use it. So people have... So they showed like this couple that moved to Colorado to be able to treat their kids or their daughter, I guess. And they had to leave everything behind, you know, which... doesn't really make sense, you know, and they're like in New Jersey.
Mm-hmm.
So they showed some clips where the father was pleading with the governor, you know, with Christie, telling him, you know, please don't let my daughter die and stuff, you know, loosen up the laws. So it's it just shows you that there's a lot of people that can be helped with this.
Yeah.
And many doctors are figuring, you know, there's something to this. You know, it actually can help people. So, you know, but all I'm saying is if the parents smoked in a closed room and the baby is there, you know, and he has to breathe the smoke, I can see where it's endangering the baby.
Yeah.
You know, so maybe that's why, You know, maybe they have to prove that or something.
I just don't know what grounds they have to arrest them, you know?
Well, that's what I'm saying. I mean, if you're in the, if you're exposing the baby to drugs, I think that could be a problem.
That
could be a problem. Mm-hmm. But again, we don't know if they were smoking it. We don't, you know, because there's edibles, you can eat it.
Yeah, there's so many different ways to consume it.
Exactly, you know. So we don't know what they did and whether they exposed the child to it. But if it's just that they took the child because the parents are using marijuana, that's archaic, you know. That's unfortunate.
Yeah.
All right, well, this is it for today. We're totally out of time. And so we thank Kit Summers for calling in. Check out his books and his website at kitsummers.com. And tomorrow we're going to be off. You're going to be picking up your guest.
Yeah.
And that'll be awesome. No, that's fine. You guys have a great time. And so we'll see everybody back here on Friday.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Charlotte, right here on LA Talk Radio.